is alive and powerful, sharp than a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder, the soul and the spirit, joints and the marrow, is the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, this morning to the text of 2 Peter chapter 3, where we will begin with verse 5. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment, it's this academic setting. It is designed for believers to assemble themselves together for their ration of the truth of Bible doctrine and their spiritual feeding metaphor in this respect, so that we as believers can attain to the role imperative to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The fact that we're here and assembled in this respect also demands that we are in fellowship. We are to deal with our SCA appropriately before God, especially as we study the truth of Bible doctrine. 1 John 1:9, the rebound technique is the mechanics for which we are able to get in fellowship and deal with our SCA. Paul refers to the same things as rightly judging the body. Obviously, the body, our flesh, is that which promotes sin activity in regards to our lives. And in its manifestation, expression, experientially, every time we rebound, we judge that action before God, and that establishes fellowship with God and places us in a position before God to then accurately ascertain what the truth of Bible doctrine is first and foremost, and then gives us the ability to serve God in application otherwise in our Christian life. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound, as is our custom, as we start with our usual word of prayer. Father, let every man be a liar, but your word stands forever. We ask once again this morning that God the Holy Spirit will indeed lighten us to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. To try to get us back here into the text of chapter 3 here, Peter's prophecy of the mockers of the church age and the latter part of the church age. Here in verses 5 and 6, Peter presents his response to these liberal critics of the church age that are attacking the integrity or the truth of Bible doctrine. These particular heretics deride the prophetical truth of the second advent of Christ, that as the core doctrine, to dismiss, therefore, all other prophecies as they center around that particular prophecy in that regard, and how they support their attack that this is all myth in regards to the Bible, that their claim that prophetic errancy exists finds its rationale in the roots of historical recordings of the Word of God, that these things are also inaccurate, and their target of attack there then is the biblical account of divine creation, that this account is wrong and scientifically unsound. And as we brought out, their alternative theory that is being presented to the world in this regards is the principle or theory of uniformitarianism, which was brought out in the final part of verse 4, for ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Uniformitarianism is the theory or the idea that because of the immutability of certain aspects of creation, the sun rises every day, the sun sets, the world keeps on turning, mountains stay in place if there's movement, these things are all minor, and how long it takes for things to make any drastic change in regards to this planet, that's the way that it's always been in regards to the existence of this planet, and therefore the planet has been around for literally eons of years. And uniformitarianism is the foundational or pillar principle that has then spawned for the intensification period of these mockers in the last days of the Omega Church under the theory of evolutionism, Darwinism in this regards. And this obviously is not anything new to us. We live in the last days. The aspect that and the fact that evolution is a principal academic subject that is being jammed down the throats of almost every student that walks on this planet anymore proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are seeing fulfillment of this prophecy of the mockers mocking in the last days and taking issue under these liberal attacks in regards to the integrity of Bible doctrine in this respect. And Peter here, his response in essence, states that these people are not only spiritually blind, but they're actually literally blind to the scientific evidence that proves their theory wrong and supports the biblical account in this respect. And that theory comes under the evidence of geology that validates the biblical account of creationism, verse 5, that is then highlighted under the account of a world or universal judgment of the flood in verse 6. And this is obviously important to the context, as it proves that God has interceded with a world judgment, a judgment upon this planet in response to mass evil or negative volition that existed in this regard. And obviously the evolutionists, liberal critics of this type, dismiss God intervening in any miraculous way in regards to the history of mankind otherwise, and hence do away with the doctrine of the second advent, that Christ will come back and judge this planet and establish his own rule in this respect. All right, so here looking at verses 5 and 6, we'll do verse 5 first. As there is a little information I will pass on to you in regards to this, I titled verses 5 and 6 there, that being the liberal heretics, the Gnostics, their ignorance of Earth's geological history. And it begins, Peter begins with original creation and the principle of hydrodynamics. That is the study or scientific study of water and its impact in regards to this planet. And that obviously is a scientific area that is also being avoided in regards to the evolutionary theory in regards to creation. All right, looking at the Greek here, verse 5, as Peter continues now, after giving the liberals a verbal attack of doctrine and their rationale, verse 4, for when they maintain this, it escapes their notice. Yet explanatory conjunction guard, he explains with respect to what they claim. When they maintain is the adjectival participle here, present active, the verb thelo. T-H-E-L-O. Literally, that means to desire or wish or want something. It's translated, when they maintain. Obviously, the they is the mockers, verse 3. This verb implies they're involved volition, because it's what they want, see, what they desire. When they maintain this, this is a near demonstrative pronoun, this thing, literally, in the neuter gender, houtos, H-O-U-T-O-S. And that's reference to the flat, fallacious rationale, verse 4. It escapes their notice. It escapes notice here is a present active indicative, keeps on escaping, of our verb lanthano. L-A-N-T-H-A-N-O. Literally, it means causing to remain unknown or unrecognized. Translated, escapes notice. It remains hidden from would be a more literal translation of this verb. It's used 6 times. The verb carries the idea of a purposeful intention with the hiding or forgetting. So these mockers essentially, quote, conveniently forgot, end quote, or, quote, chose to ignore in regards to their pillar of argument otherwise with respect to other certain facts that are before them. Escapes their notice, there being the personal pronoun autos, A-U-T-O-S. And then, this is what escapes their notice, the remainder of verse 5 and 6, that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago. That is the introductory conjunction hoti, H-O-T-I, here introducing indirect discourse, by the word of God. You had the instrumental case of our noun with the definite article for word, hologos, L-O-G-O-S. The word here of God with the definite article, hotheos, T-H-E-O-S. He's the one that produces the word. The heavens existed long ago. Heavens here without the definite article supplied the New American Standard to encapsulate the universe in and of itself, if you will. You have the plural, the noun for heavens, Uranos, O-U-R-A-N-O-S. Uranos existed long ago. Existed is the imperfect active of the V verb, the state of being, Imi, E-I-M-I. Were long ago. Long ago is the adverb of time, ek palai. E-K-P-A-L-A-I. We saw that back in chapter 2, verse 3. And their judgment from long ago is not idle. So way far back is the idea that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. The hydrodynamics of the restoration of our planet. You have the conjunction Kai, K-A-I, our noun for earth, Gay, G-E, was formed, is the adjectival participle here, perfect, active, action in the past with existing results. The verb sun isteming, S-U-N-I-S-T-E-M-I, sun isteming. The basic meaning means to put together. It has a variety of nuances, to stand beside, command, recommend, here, translated form, in context, and that's a decent translation. It's used 15 times. Out of water and by water. The science of the landmass, geology of our planet. First of all, out of water, you have the preposition ek, A-E-K, from the source of, out from the source of, followed with our noun for water, hudor, H-U-D-O-R, which is adjective here of separation, and connective chi, through water, the means of landscaping, if you will. you have the preposition dia, D-I-A, the agency of water, is the idea, again, hudor, repeated. Rereading verse 5, for when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. All right, now it says here of verse 5. 1, in verses 5 and 6, Peter exposes these, quote, last days, end quote, mockers, fallacious pretense of argument. Those who take issue with the truth of Bible doctrine often like to argue about it. And their pillar of argument is completely erroneous. It is built on sand, on nothing firm. So the argument here is point 2, that as it pertains to the uniformitarian theory of creation, known today as evolution, as it's packaged in that academia. So 3, the modern day evolutionists not only deny the truth of Scripture, but even disregard scientific evidence that otherwise dismantles their mythical model. We believe that the entire Bible is completely and totally accurate, that it is all inspired by God, and it is perfect and truthful, that including historical or practical recordings in regards to that which is found in Scripture, including the account of how this world was created and the time in which it was created, as noted in Genesis 1, the flood, etc. And again, as I brought out, you can see, as wrong as it is, the logic Satan uses in regards to these heretics of attacking the integrity of creationism as the very core, if you can attack that which is first recorded in Scripture, and as well as the flood account, etc., in that regards, then the rest of the Scripture, it's no good either. See, it's all inaccurate. These claim that because the Bible were written by men who are imperfect, therefore, the Bible is ipso facto imperfect. And again, they do not recognize how God operates and how He has chosen to reveal Himself with respect to mankind. He uses men. Now, He's obviously also manifested Himself through theophany and things of this nature in regards to His person. But generally, in regards to communication, His major form of communication is through other men, imperfect men, people with STAs. See? But the difference is that these are people that are positive to God. They are open in regards to God's communication to them to relate to others, and that these bind themselves in regards to their responsibility before God to communicate it accurately, exactly as He has presented it in regards to His Word. And the liberals love to attack this aspect, and obviously that opens the doors for all kinds of cans of worms in regards to how people treat the Bible. It's a good book to kind of model your behavior by, you know, etc. But they dismiss the divine restraints and the divine commands, etc., as being anything of absolute necessity in regards to serving God and understanding God. As we brought out, you remove the integrity of the Bible in regards to life itself. You remove any absolutes that men had morally and otherwise to claim to find a foundation in regards to how they exist, what they think, what they do in life. The Bible provides those absolutes. And the liberals love to degrade the absolutes and make it generic and make it under their own form and put it in their own ideology. Like going to weddings and watching women preachers marry people. And don't even talk really about husband and wife. It's the life partnership. Like it's some gay marriage. You know, if I was a person getting married with that type of terminology, I'd be offended. No, this is not a life partnership. It's a marriage. See, it's a union between man and woman. Why we are called men and women. They go together, see, in that regards. But that's the liberal approach, you know, to water it down, to compromise the divine nature in regards to the message of what God has to say in regards to marriage and what it's supposed to stand for, etc., etc. Well, this is a liberal attack. And so, while we live in the last days and we're surrounded, obviously, by the lukewarm spiritual flakes of this world, with all their legalism, we also have the counterpart, odd bedfellow that goes along with it, and that's the liberal approach. And as I've brought out way back when in regards to my teaching, if you have legalism, you're going to have liberalism somewhere else. They both coexist side by side. See, that's the opposite spectrums of the truth going off in either one of these directions. And so if you reject part of, if you add to God's Word, you're going to reject other parts of it. See? And if you reject certain parts of God's Word, then you're going to add to it. You're going to replace it with something else. The logic of Bible doctrine to me is just amazing when it's put in its proper perspective. And the modern day evolutionist types, these liberal critics and mockers, they not only deny the truth of Scripture, and what this does is it provides and it puts blinders on individuals in regards to the real and the true realities of life as they exist, even within their own scientific communities. So again, point three, the modern day evolutionists not only deny the truth of Scripture, but even disregard scientific evidence that otherwise dismantles their mythical model. Now, it's my contention, one reason why they attack, why Satan heads up this attack under the liberal banner here, is because creationism is abstract enough in regards to its presentation in the Bible that people can easily implement theories. And obviously, to explain the geological condition scientifically, apart from what the Bible says in regards to our geology and our topography of our planet as it exists today, demands a certain theory to explain it. Because the Bible doesn't give you all the details, and that's the way the Bible is, and often, on occasion, it doesn't give you all the details. It checks your faith, whether you're going to believe it or not. Just because he doesn't give you every little minute detail in regards to him, all of a sudden you're just going to blow God off. You know? So it's just part of the test. So to me, I can see why this part of biblical integrity is attacked, because it gives him a lot of room to play with, if you will, in the scientific and academic community. So 4, the theory of evolution is a modern day, quote, big lie, end quote, that has been rammed down throats academically, enjoying a worldwide classroom of gullible negative volition. Essentially, there isn't probably a classroom, apart from maybe some private Christian schools, that doesn't teach creationism, evolutionism. And essentially, the scientific community bombards people in regards to this thinking. You can't even watch a nature show anymore without having to listen to that garbage. Oh, look at that bear. He evolved from, you know, a thousand years ago from this other kind of animal. And you got to put up with that. I mean, that's the way it is. You know, I hear people moan and groan in regards to plant, programs of how evil they are because they have a lot of sex in them or something like that. You know, but they sit there and they applaud, you know, certain nature shows that have, if you will, more theological and ideological evil involved in them than even some of your more, you know, immoral shows. Not that I'm advertising for immorality. I am not. The idea is to take captive every thought for Christ and recognize how evil all of it is. And it's not just the, you know, the big sins that are evil. How people gain control in regards to this world is to control the thought and ideas of people, and to propagandize them, brainwash them, if you will, into certain modes of ways of thinking. And this, again, is part of the salvation package of being positive phase 2, because it protects you from being enslaved to the world and its thoughts. Anybody else, essentially, that might be negative to God's Word and even aspects of God's Word. So evolution is one of the modern day big lies that now basically is throughout the world in regards to its teaching. And you can't send a kid to a public school without, you know, putting them in the front and the face of this. So it's up to you, the parent, to make sure that your child understands the truth in regards to it. That's part of a parent's job, see, to oversee their children. That's why they have parents, because they need you. They need you to instruct them and give them guidance in life. Not just let them go out and do what they want to do and cater to them and give them spending money to have fun. Even though that may be the easy way out. Being a parent is a job. It's supposed to be a blessing, and if it's done right, it is a blessing, generally speaking. But it's not always without its testing. So 5, the ideology, this ideology theory of evolution, Darwinism, is a major academic player for persons, organizations, and laws advocating loss of freedom and other injustice. This one academic subject being put into society's thinking has spawned an avenue for control over people, hence loss of freedom, through the principles such as global warming. You know, we're the ones in charge of this planet. You as an individual need to do something to help this global warming, like we're the problem. Well, I tried to hold it as far as I could, but I had to let it go. You don't get the old cow theory in regards to carbon pollution. I'm sorry. You know, and everything you see, even in your products that you buy now, you know, green, got to go green. What kind of footprint you going to leave on our environment? Well, I'll tell you what, God's going to leave a footprint on this environment that it's going to be so far up people's, you know what, they will not be able to remove it. Now, I understand, you know, big industry, et cetera. You got to understand, these people, a lot of times, are the ones that are instigators in regards to getting laws passed because it's going to benefit them, like the carbon law taxes that I have down here. Carbon laws. And how they can, you know, under carbon law taxation, where they want to try to tax everybody. And people are trying to pass these kind of laws even now. And, you know, industries can, they can swap credits for carbon laws. You know, that they can pollute the environment as long as they pay a certain amount. You know. But for the small man, which they're trying to, you know, the idea behind it is to tax the air we breathe. Because we're destroying the ozone by our carbon output. You know. And you can see the evil behind this. PETA, why do you put that in there? The animal rights advocates. Destroy man's ability and freedom to survive and to hunt, you know, save the whales. No, God designed the whales to save Jonah. Okay, they didn't like that. You know, evolution is behind all of this. You think about it. It is a primary thought pattern that promotes this kind of thinking. Otherwise, we have to save the planet. See? Shortage of fossil fuels. Our oil shortage. Crap, there's so much oil left in this planet, we could survive for probably another 100,000 years without any problem at the rapid pace of even of what we're going. There's oil fields that they won't let them go because the environmentalists, the evolutionists, don't want to, you know, invade nature. And just do a little research. You can find this stuff out. It's not that hidden. That people just go on through life, duh. You know, blind to it. Let's go electric. No, like that's really going to happen. Not as long as the great merchants got their fingers in it. You know, they might twitch you a little bit. Oh, here's your electric car. It does 25 miles an hour. And you can go 10 miles, but you got to plug it back in. Oh, like I'm really going to go buy that. You know, give me one that does 250. I think they got one sports car out now to do that. But you got to have the big bucks to buy it. Like I'm going to do 250 miles an hour. No, I'm not. But just to know that I can, that satisfies my flesh. Ad nauseum. I mean, it goes on and on. It has become an integral part of people's thinking and ideology that sponsors and supports our government and the actions they engage in, industry, academia, all these things. It is truly a big lie. The big lie, see, that Satan now is ramming down the world in this regards. And it's all about control. It's all about unifying mankind in their thinking and preparing the stage, if you will, for a one world government under the Antichrist. He'll save the planet. Now, so, all right, moving on here. Six. Peter begins by giving the true creation account here in verse 5, following with a catastrophic event in history that lends scientific data as to the biblical account in verse 6, the flood. Now again, all we have is a statement in regards to the restoration and the creation of Genesis 1. That's easy to theorize, see, as those who want to take a tack. If you don't want to take that verbatim, well, how do I know that's true? You know, scientific evidence. First, scientific evidence. Well, then you have the flood. You add that account. That account provides strong scientific evidence that there actually was a universal flood for the scientific community. And hence, if that's true, then so was creation. See, that's your alternative argument back in that respect. All right, 7. The opening clause for when they maintain this, it escapes their notice, is a clear denunciation as to the colossal ignorance of these critics, modern and ancient. Again, this ideology, this idea, this theory is not anything new. The evolution theory obviously was promoted and sponsored and accepted in the 1700s, basically. But the idea, of a planet being here and things just happening, extremely slow over time, and it's taken a long time. The uniformitarian principle that existed before evolution, through modern academia, is just put down in academic terms and scientific terms, and that's how it's been packaged for us. So 8, literally the Greek text here, the Greek text would be rendered, for it remains hidden to them while they desire this thing. That's your little literal rendering of the Greek text. The very clause, when they maintain this, it escapes their notice. Literally, it remains hidden to them while they desire this thing as part of their judgment. See, part of judgment and negative volition. You don't want to accept the truth, embrace the truth, well, fine, you'll be blind to it. It doesn't make a difference whether you're unbeliever or believer as far as that goes. So, 9, the near demonstrative pronoun this thing literally, houtos, looks back to the statement back in ending verse 4, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. 10, the circumstantial participle, when they maintain, fellow in the Greek, is a verb clearly expressing the wish, want, or desire of a person. 11, it is an exercise of will based on motive. It is an exercise of will based on motive. We saw it used in that vein in 1 Peter 3:17 in the phrase, if God should will it so. See, it denotes his motive, volition, his sovereignty, his sovereign will. 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better if God should will so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. So this word is used as an exercise of will, exercise of volition, based on one's motive, one's intentions, desires. So, and here, and continue with point 11, and here emphasizes the negative volition proposing the scientific scam. That's the emphasis behind this. The negative volition that is proposing this scientific scam. 12, in essence, Peter's explaining the volitional path of rejecting God these have taken to promote their theories brought out here by the explanatory conjunction for gar. He's explaining the volitional path now of why they came up with this argument. And that is, they choose to reject God under negative volition. So 13, choosing to be negative to divine creationism. The ongoing effect then is brought out by the present tense phrase, it escapes their notice. Lamphino, autos in the Greek. It escapes their notice. 14, the verb escapes notice has a nuance of a deliberate action, and further exposes a conscious ignorance by choice. A conscious ignorance by choice. They have evidence that states to the contrary in regards to their scientific theories. But they consciously determine to reject that and choose to accept an alternative. And evolution is being taught today as scientific fact, when in fact it is nothing still but a theory. A rotten one at that, the more one investigates it. It is so full of holes in regards to its probability. It's not even funny. But yet, you will learn that before you get out of school. See? And this is all brought about and supported and promoted by negative volition as antagonism in regards to the truth of Bible doctrine. So the verb again, lonthino, escapes notice, has a nuance of a deliberate action, and further exposes the conscious ignorance by choice. They're blind because they choose to be blind. They choose to be blind in the face of contradicting evidence otherwise. See, it's one thing to not know a doctrine, to be ignorant of it, that fact. There's a whole other thing to have heard it and then choose to reject it. You're dealing with a whole different mind game then. You're dealing with a real soul problem to not be intellectually honest enough, at least, to accept the truth of the doctrine itself, no matter how weak one may be otherwise in applying it. And again, you know, it all goes back to men are culpable. Men don't die and go to hell because, you know, God's asleep and they don't really deserve it. They die and go to hell in the face of the truth. In the face of the fact that they don't want the truth. And they reject the truth. Just like people lose SG3 and don't get the prize for the same reasons. Instead of catering to these people and coddling them, you need to put them on notice what they are. Unless they come to repentance and get their acts back together. Or get their act together, spiritually speaking. Fifteen, the true doctrine of origins eludes these people because they do not want the true and living God in their thinking, just like their pagan counterparts. And again, it takes us back to Romans 1 in regards to negative volition, the reality of negative volition in the unbelieving world. That is, in spite of the truth, in spite of the truth, of evidence of the truth and of God, negative volition, this is the nature of negative volition, rejects it otherwise. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, God has revealed Himself in His essence, His eternal power and divine nature are being clearly seen still today, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Looking at physical creation provides adequate and ample evidence for all people to recognize there is a supreme being in this universe. That there is something that has manufactured this universe which we live in, the planet which we live on, and has put it all in its place in order. It didn't happen by chance. So all men are culpable in regards to that which God has provided in evidence of His person, but the reality in regards to negative volition, verse 21, for even though they knew God, you know, like I said, the day that one really kind of hit me, that phrase, for even though they knew God, they looked at the truth, they saw the evidence. It hit them. Oh, it probably is. But screw that. I don't want to believe that. I hate that idea of God that's going to judge me. That means, you know, I've got to deal with my SCA, with the things I do in life, with the actions I engage in. You know, there's moral standards are going to be placed upon me. This is, you know, what people are trying to loose themselves of in the world that are negative. Hence gay marriages and all this other crap. And literally, that's what it is. And I would use stronger terms as I have in the past, but I just don't feel like today. And give me a break. Now, really. You know, sometimes you kind of sigh when you hear people complaining about stuff. But, the real atrocities of what's going on around us. You know, people complain about people on doctrine and stuff, blah, blah, blah. What about all these atrocities going on around you? You never hear anybody complain about that. Hardly. For even though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. See, they did not embrace that. They rejected that. Or give thanks, but they came futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They replaced it, the divine viewpoint, the divine evidence, with human viewpoint, human evidence, and their own thoughts. Their own myths. And every time you reject any ounce of Bible doctrine, you're going to replace it with your own thoughts. Your own myths. Your own little ideas of human viewpoint. Verse 25. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. To worship anything physical. This worship being the creature, whether it's under pagan animal worship or beast worship or man themselves, etc. So, for these liberal heretics in their proposing and advocating the evolutionary theory, the true doctrine of creationism, I lose them, because the simple fact is they don't want to have a relationship with God. They don't want to think about God. See, you think about God, heck, who knows, you might start seeking. Don't want to do that. Being obviously not funny, but sarcastic. 16, their doctrine of uniformitarian bias is a result of rejecting the truth. These intellectual geniuses that promote and adhere to this type of ideology and academia are ignorant fools. I don't care how much they may prosper in the world. I don't care what kind of position they may hold in government or in the scientific community, how smart they may be, whether they walk on the moon or what. People that hold to this are nothing but idiots. In the face, in the true face of reality. So what? Let them go in and find out for you. You know, all the mathematic aspects of quantum theory. So what? So what? They're a genius in that human realm. The same people that adhere to evolutionary creationism, etc. What an idiot. What truly is an idiot? An idiot is one who rejects the truth of Bible doctrine. Must have been around a few of them this last week, huh? What do you think of this? But I had to take Anne with me, so you know. Bad joke. She had to go with me, that's what. So the doctrine of uniformitarian bias is a result of rejecting the truth. 17, this erroneous alternative of the status quo perception here, of their theorizing, of the status quo perception of geological change mandating Earth's past history, the uniformitarian approach, is what's called the sin qua non, which literally means without which not. That is, something indispensable of their belief system. The uniformitarian or evolutionary, the uniformitarian aspect of evolution is the pillar of their whole theory. See, it's the pillar. Without that, they would have no theory, essentially, in this regard. That's what we're saying by that point. And that is what Peter is going to crush. He's going to destroy the pillar of the argument. So 18, they are biased against the supernatural or divine contravention, which simply means infringement. God involving himself, infringing on Earth's history and mankind. So they are biased against the supernatural or divine contravention of which they call, of what they call, the predictable and immutable laws of nature. And as we pointed out, their problem is that they erroneously look at the aspects of our scientific existence, of the things that unchange day after day in this world, as God's faithfulness, preserving and preservation for life for us in order to fulfill His plan for mankind. And they take that idea and they say that's the way it's always been, and God has never really, you know, intervened otherwise. So, 19, the Genesis account has been disparaged, and so they, for all their talk, are in the dark with respect to what Aristotle called, quote, the unmoved mover. Aristotle, looking at the concept of theology and God and His existence, and came to the conclusion that He was the unmoved mover, that He maintains the stability and everything else that's necessary to keep everything intact and life going, and that He is immutable in regards to His person. So whether Aristotle was a believer or not, we'll see. 20, the Word of God now makes it clear in the opening verse of Genesis that, quote, in, quote again, A is without the definite article in the Hebrew. Beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right, as we start now to look at the biblical account of creationism and what the Bible declares, that in a beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. And that is the emphasis of the first part here of verse 5. That by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago. So that's 21. Peter now describes that creation ex nihilo, which means simply out of nothing. Simply that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago. So 22, this means by the divine fiat. An expression of God's will. He willed it. Presented in terms of speaking. He didn't have to open his mouth to do it. He doesn't have a mouth, he's a spirit. So by divine will, by divine desire, by the divine command, is the idea. So 23, in other words, God willed it. And the heavens, Uranos in our verse, or universe, came into being. So the first part of this deals with original creation. The original creation, in contrast to the restoration that is also part of Genesis 1. So 24, the principle is matter is not eternal, only God is eternal. Matter is not eternal, only God is eternal. But the liberal critics would say that we've been around forever. The universe has been around forever. No, it has not been. God has. But there was no known matter that we know of, at least, before the creation of the angels, then what God created in regards to them, etc. So, nothing's eternal. In fact, the proof positive of that in regards to matter is that you can't take anything with you when you die. The only thing that goes is your human spirit and your soul, which they're not matter, speaking of physical matter. They are made of a spiritual energy and substance in that regards, essence, whatever form that may be. 25, it is clear from divine revelation that at some point there was nothing, and then God spoke, and the result is a vast universe with its heavens, both stellar heavens, etc., and present heavens that we perceive, first heavens. So, explaining in other words, 26, at some point in eternity past, there was nothing. And then there was creation spoken into existence as noted by the expression by the Word of God, by means of the Word of God, in the instrumental case, ho logos, ho theos. 27, the writer of Hebrews uses a similar expression in Hebrews 11:3 in connection with creation. And further states, it was ex nihilo. In Hebrews 11:13, the construction is remati, the utterance of God. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, by the utterance of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Implying they were made ex nihilo in regards to creation. 28 other scriptures for divine creation. The Bible supports it. Other writers apart from Moses and Pentateuch, Genesis, Psalm 89:11. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all it contains, you have founded it. Psalm 90:2. Before the mountains were born, or you did give birth to the earth and the world. He's obviously the originator. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. 102:25. Of old you did found the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. Isaiah 42:5. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. Isaiah 45:18. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens. He is a God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it a waste place, as we have presented in regards to the Genesis account, but formed it to be inhabited. So, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 account, where it became formless and void, it was not originally created in that way. So we have a proof text in that regards. Then you have John 1:1-3 in the New Testament. Gospel of John. In a beginning, imitating the opening book of Genesis, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in a beginning with God, the Word being the second member of the Godhead, God the Son. All things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being which has come into being. It pretty much covers the bases. Verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, through His agency, through His expression of omnipotence, and the world did not know Him. Acts 17:24. God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. The ignorance of religious people.
Well, this makes God a place to live.
Huh? Romans 1:20, we read that already, and then Revelation 14:7. He said with a loud voice, fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of water. So 29, it is God the Son, the second member of the Godhead, that is credited with creation. Again, John 1:3, we saw Revelation 14:7 dealing with the same thing. Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you did create all things. Because of your will, they existed and were created. In Colossians 1:16-17. We'll take our break. For by him, Christ, the Son, the blood Son, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. Okay, great.